Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. I've had an absolute blast recording your championship intros on audio and also on video. And for those of you that didn't know, the videos can be done special exactly the way you like them, because these are green screens and we can do them with a scene behind me. Do you want a fighting scene? Do you want a beach scene? Do you want a race car scene? Any scene you want, we can give it to you. It's your theme and my pleasure. Just write our offices and we will answer you with the exact fee involved and how it'll get done. So here we are, and now it's time, and it's your choice. Cheers!
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China and back to the streets of Las Vegas where the UFC is coming. We are live. It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but maybe afraid to voice. Do not worry. We'll voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. No holds barred radio, folks. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, film, TV, you name it. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it today. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
Happy oh, holidays. Terrible. I'm terrible, Buff, but that's all right. We're going to make it through. It's
yeah, I know. You got a lot going on there. With
What's that saying? When it rains, it pours?
What you say again?
What's that saying? When it rains, it pours?
Yep.
Yeah, it's we're in a torrential downpour right now. It's all right.
You got a flooded house, right?
Flooded house. My furnace is out, and I'm about an hour away from leaving for trip 2 of 4 in the next 14 days.
That sounds like one of those Western songs. You know, my house is flooded.
Right.
My power's out.
Right.
My dog's in the middle of the road.
Yeah, hopefully my dog doesn't end up in the middle of the road.
I'm trying to turn off a machine here.
It's all right. You know, Buffer, I really like your new computer. That thing is following you all over the place.
Look at this.
Yeah. It's I think our guest is already here.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I'm gonna admit them now.
I had to make sure Puncher's is in the window.
It's all right. It's very anonymous. It says just Zoom user. Who could it be?
Well, that's okay. When he comes on, we'll get Steven on. I want to say real quick.
You screwed it up, Buffer. You weren't supposed to say his name.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
I get up too late this morning?
Now, maybe. I don't know. If he can hear us, he needs to turn on his webcam.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good.
He'll figure it out. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm assuming that it's Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It could be.
Well, if not, then we have another guest, but that is our guest for today.
Can you imagine? All right. Well, they left us, apparently. I don't know what happened. They'll be back.
All right. So listen, we're starting the show. A couple of things we need to address is the passing of two individuals. Mm. The fine actress, Kirstie Alley.
One of my favorite. Like Cheers. Yeah. It doesn't get much better than Cheers. Oh, speaking of Cheers.
Well, here, let's Wonder Boy.
There we go.
And now, the man fresh off one of the greatest fights of 2022. Oh, my gosh. I mean, a fight to remember, a fight for the ages. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Steve, look at that handsome face, man. Nothing's going to screw with that model face of yours.
I'm trying to be like you, brother. Trying to be like you.
Well, I've taken about 20 or so stitches over my eyes, but you know, I don't know if you have more or less. How many stitches did you get the other day?
Oh man, well, I didn't really count. They were actually fairly big, so I would say probably 20 between the two.
Oh, dang. Darn! You beat me on one go. That's not good.
Hey, might I say, Stephen, this is honestly like a Hall of Fame fight, and you know, this is one of those fights where I feel we have recency bias in mixed martial arts. A lot of people talk about, oh, it just happened, so it's fight of the year. This isn't just fight of the year. Like, this is fight of your career in so many ways. Did you feel that as it was unfolding?
You know, I didn't realize it till after the fight. You know what I mean? I knew what I wanted, what the game plan was going out there, that I wanted to be a little more aggressive in the fact that Kevin Holland doesn't do well backing up.
Right.
So afterwards, though, from what everybody was telling me, I'm like, you know, it sounds like it was an epic fight. Like, I don't remember a whole lot just because of, you know, thinking's too slow. It's just all about reaction out there. But I went back and watched it just the other day. And let me tell you, man, it was unbelievable. It was awesome. Like, I don't remember half the stuff I did out there, to be honest with you. So
before we talk about it, there's so much to talk about in this fight, Steven. I just have to break away for 1 second because we were paying homage to two people that passed away when you came on. Yes. So if you made, I don't want to treat that lightly. We were talking and I want to give you the full attention. Okay. Cause you deserve that and so much more. But the fine actress Kirstie Alley passed away at 71 years old of colon cancer.
Yep.
Somebody, I know TJ, you're a big fan of hers from the,
I was a fan of Cheers. You know what I mean? It was hard not to.
Exactly. But this is all the more reason where people have to be aware of the fact, as we had a lot of cancer awareness at the show last Saturday, that you need to get your checkups, you need to get your colonoscopies, you need to do everything that needs to be done, because this is a very common thing. And if you don't find it, it gets you. Yep. So my condolences and best wishes go out to her family, friend, and loved ones. And again, I don't mean to treat that lightly, as I never do in people's passings. The other one, Stephen, I'm sure you can relate to. I know I can relate to. I worked with this man over 30 years, many, many, many times, you know, in the boxing world with Michael. But the fine referee, Mills Lane, passed away at 85 years old. He had some health issues before this, but he did pass away. But what a legendary referee, Mills Lane.
Legend.
Was. Legend.
He was a legend.
A pop culture icon, too. Not just for what he did in combat sports, but if you remember, he was the referee on that MTV series Celebrity Deathmatch. Yeah,
I loved it.
Amazing.
Yeah, I had Michael in that too.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No. So, again, my best wishes and condolences go out to the family and close friends of Mills Lane. Great working with you, Mills. Rest in peace, my friend.
Rest in peace, brother.
And now we're back to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Stephen, this fight, I'm telling you, if somebody wants to take a mini course in martial arts, kicks, when to throw. I mean, your kicks were beautiful. Your spinning kicks, which is always a dangerous thing to do in a fight, is to turn your back on somebody. But your timing and your control of your distance when you're dealing with the people you're fighting, especially a long-armed and limbed man like Kevin Holland, it was just beautiful precision coming out of nowhere. I mean, it was masterful to watch.
Thank you. That was you know, the kind of the game plan going in. I knew his 82 or 83 inch reach was going to be fairly difficult with me with my 75 inch reach. So I knew my legs were a lot longer. So we needed to really use those to, you know, put those to good use during this fight. And it helped. I at one point I felt like I threw like 6 spin hook kicks. My dad kept saying spin. So when I hear that, I think spin hook kick. But he meant to say was spin back kick. Wanted me to throw the spin back kick. But yeah, man, just putting those legs to good use out there, it really you know, played a huge part in that W, man. And not only that, but leading up to the fight, we knew his bread and butter was his right hand. He smoked me with that right hand in the first round, made me see stars, made my ears ring. But I recovered. Thank goodness I was blessed with a hard head. But yeah, man, just putting those kicks together.
What was a guesstimate that he broke his right hand?
I do believe it was the right hand that he hit me with in the first round. I think that's what started it. But then later on, I think into the second, beginning of the third, I kind of knew that something was wrong with it because he started throwing more elbows. So I started to aim for that arm with my kicks, kick to the body, kicks to the hand.
Smart.
And I think that had a lot to do with him causing so much damage.
And then in the fourth round. Exactly. And he's not a takedown artist. So in the fourth round, trying to take you down, it was obvious the hand wasn't working at that point.
Right.
He came over on my side of the octagon when there was a break in the action and went like this to his friends who were sitting behind me saying, hey, it's broke.
Yeah.
So
I ended up breaking my left hand during the fight. I broke this one here.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
I did. Oh, I ended up breaking the first and second metacarpal in this hand. So hopefully I don't have to have surgery. We got an MRI on it yesterday. So hopefully we should be finding out the results here pretty soon. Oh, but Steve, he broke his right. I broke my left.
Have you had any issues with that hand in the past, Stephen?
So when I fought Vicente Luque, and Bruce, you probably remember this. I fought Vicente Luque. I broke both of my hands in the first round of that fight.
Wow.
He had such a, that's what started all. Never broken my hands before that part, just because I do a lot of Maki work. And ever since I was, you know, for many years, let's just say that. And first time I ever broke my hands, but They say once you break that break him one time, you're kind of more apt to do it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I fought Vicente Luque, broke my left and my right hand in the first round of that fight. So I didn't realize I broke this hand until I took the gloves off and I just did a little tight squeeze and I felt some pain and some moving around in that hand. So I was like, yep, that feels familiar. I think I broke my hand.
Oh, that sucks. So, you know, looking at Vicente Luque's head with no jokes intended, but he has the kind of head it looks like you're going to break your hand on.
Yo, 100%.
Yeah.
100, I mean, he's got a massive skull. Massive skull. This guy. Just a big
old
skull.
Tito Ortiz plus one.
Yeah, exactly, man. So I knew that was going to be tough. And with Kevin, I didn't realize how tough this guy was until I fought him. You know what I mean? I mean, he was literally that fourth round like a zombie. Like, I hit him with everything but the kitchen sink, and he just kept getting back up. I'm like, what is this dude's deal? Like, is he out on his feet? Like, what's going on? He's just tough as nails.
Yeah. And that's what I think is so impressive about the fact that, you know, his corner, you know, had to be the one to step in there and stop him, because Kevin's really not going to stop. As long as the fight is going, he's going to continue to march forward. And that's what was impressive about the win, I think, Stephen, is the fact that, you know, he had to be saved from himself in a lot of ways.
You know, what else is really cool? When that quote I saw on video, I mentioned this to Stephen the other day. That old man's fast, you know?
Like, wow. That was like in between rounds, right? He said that. I saw that everywhere afterwards. Yeah, that old man's fast, man. I'm like, well, you know, I try. I mean, I don't consider myself old. I'm trying to be like you, Bruce. I mean, you look great. Thank out you. There and I don't even think we realize how old you are. I'm not putting you on the spot, but you look like you're not much older than me, man. You look amazing. So
thank you, Stephen. I'm 65.
You know, that's what I was just gonna say, Buff. I don't even know if Stephen even knows your actual age. It's like a myth out there. Like, what? Some people might think you're like 55 years old,
65.
Buff.
You do not look what?
It's all natural, Stephen. That's all I can tell you. I still got my six pack. There's a little bit of a record set going on inside, but on the outside, I'll compare myself to anybody.
Well, I'm trying to be like you, Bruce, man. You look amazing, man.
Thank you.
But people calling me old. I'm a 39. I don't consider myself old at all. And it's funny, you know, how that is put in people's head, because, you know, I'm 39, and maybe it's because you don't see a whole lot of fighters at my age, you know, still fighting for the UFC, but Glover Teixeira is a big inspiration of mine. Winning the title at his age at what, 42 or 43 or something like that?
42.
42. So I'm not far behind him, but
hey, no offense to Glover, Bruce. You got him beat in the looks department.
Yes. 100%.
Don't put me
on
the spot,
please. But
I feel
like if you take care of your body, you know, you can be able to do this for a long time coming. That's
eat right, train right, be right, baby. That's all it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Play hard, play hard, be hard, whatever. It's all it is.
You know, I remember, Stephen, when you showed up in the UFC and people were talking about your nickname, Wonder Boy, and they're like, well, that's kind of a misnomer. He's not a 19-year-old kid. And now we're sitting here looking at you at 39 years old. And it's still, you know, very, you know, fitting. Like, you are the Wonder Boy. Like, I love Jack Black, by the way. Like, you know, seeing your hand get raised, like, it's amazing. But you can't ever change Wonder Boy. I don't care if you fight for another 10 years and you're pushing 50. Like, you're Wonder Boy forever.
Don't ever change it. When that music starts and you walk out, I've told you this before, Steve, and it's one of my favorite moments in the octagon. Wonder Boy. It's just so, it's so perfect.
It
the way
works.
It comes out, you know?
It's funny.
The one thing Saturday night, though, I thought they weren't playing it loud enough. I go, why don't you turn it up more? You
know, I know.
You notice that?
I did notice that. I was like, why is it? Does it turn down? Like, what's going on? But it was funny that my brother's been asking me to walk out to that song for the longest. And I was like, no. You know, it's not a song that really fires you up, but it puts a smile on my face when I walk out. And it fits perfectly. And be able to talk to Jack Black. And afterwards and before, it was actually really epic. He had no idea I was walking out to his song until I think it was Gilbert Burns who found out. So I got to meet up with Jack Black and him and Kyle Gass, went to one of his concerts, got to walk out on stage while they sang Wonder Boy. So I got to talk to him after the fight as well. So I told him, I was like, look, man, as long as I'm walking out to Tenacious D, Wonder Boy, I will always be forever be Wonder Boy.
That's right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what a walkout song is all about. Something
yes, sir.
That means a lot to you for sure. So now, Stephen, you know, one of the things that with the broken hand, I'm so sorry to hear this, because I know one thing. It's got to heal 100%. Did when your last hand breaks, did they heal 100% before you went back to work?
Well, they, I thought they were 100%. I thought they were.
That answers my question.
Yeah. 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 You got to make sure they're 100%. And what I did wrong was I didn't go back to see the doctor. I didn't go back to my doctor's appointment for him to get a full look at it. Cause I was so anxious to get back out there and do it again, you know? So I jumped back out there, started hitting the bags. And the next day I could barely open my hand. I didn't re-break it, but it was just traumatized. So I got to make sure that I take the time off and make sure these bad boys are healed up before I even hit a bag.
Yeah. No question.
Hey, you
no
know question. What I thought the most impressive thing about this ultra impressive performance was? You lost the first round, Stephen. And that's one thing I think in mixed martial arts, a lot of guys quickly sort of get that pace put on them in that first round. And then they sort of fall into that pattern of like, okay, I'm fighting this guy's fight. But that was not the case for yourself on Saturday night.
Thanks, man. You know, I did feel that. I got smoked with his right hand in that first round and it staggered me a little bit. Obviously, you know, in the judge's eyes, I was losing the round. But from then on, all I had in my head was, I'm losing this fight. So I just kept picking it up. At some point, Kevin looks at me. He told me, he's like, hey, man, slow down a little bit. Slow down. I'm like, no, I'm picking it up, buddy. I'm coming at you. But, you know, it was one of those things where that was kind of in the back of my head. This guy stung me. And everybody thinks I'm losing this fight, so I got to pick it up every round. And that was kind of my mindset going back and leading up to this fight. I knew he didn't do well on his heels, so I just kind of picked the pace up. I picked the pace up on him.
That's interesting. You're talking about didn't do well when he's moving back?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Because yes. One of the biggest things, I know when I was kickboxing, you know, a lot of my life, that I really trained hard to be able to punch and kick moving backwards, you know?
Yes, sir.
Being able to get something where I could plant real quick and throw, or just at least be able to punch moving backwards, which Chuck Liddell was a master at.
Oh yeah.
And you did a great job at that too. But see, that's, I love hearing this because this means you're at the way you and your dad work, you know, you're watching film, you're watching this, you're preparing for that. Very interesting. I don't think I've heard anybody say that to us, TJ, that he doesn't fight well on his heels. That's actually the first time I heard that.
Kevin Holland?
No, just that statement. Doesn't fight well on his heels. That's I've not heard that before. Maybe I haven't. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But that you're a cerebral fighter, Stephen. You know, thanks. Your ability to maintain the distance, to bring in the standard form of martial arts into your fighting as a mixed martial artist and all, it's not easy. It's not easy to fight that way. Very, very few people fight that way.
You bring that up.
Elias Theodoro had a little bit of a similar style. Yeah.
Well, the thing I think of about Wonderboy here is, you know, we're in this modern era of mixed martial arts, and this is almost going to sound like a slight, but I mean it in the highest form of a compliment, because there are very few specialists now, and not a lot of people can be, you know, can afford to be specialists because you have to be so well-rounded. But you are very much a striking and karate sort of specialist with that traditional martial arts style. And I feel like to be able to shine the way that you have, being so true to your original sort of martial art and discipline, it's a rarity. I think you and Demian Maia are the last two really like modern era fighters that have been able to be like, look, this is our stock and trade, and you just can't stop it.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. I was mentioning that because when I first jumped into the UFC, it was kind of like right there at the very end of the era of the specialists, right?
Yeah.
You had Anderson Silva, striking specialist, you know, Chuck Liddell, you had Demian Maia, the grappling specialist, you know. And it was at that point where Rory McDonald was kind of shining because he came into the game kind of knowing everything. He was good at everything. So, yeah, I feel like I was kind of like the last of the specialists when it came to the UFC. Now you're getting guys who are just phenomenal everywhere. So, which is, you know, something that I'm continually trying to work on in my wrestling and jiu-jitsu. But at the same time, still going out there and being able to do what I do, what people see when they are, you know, whenever they think of Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, they think of my karate style.
Right.
So, you know, I still want to give that to the fans as well.
Did you guys see the stat about Wonderboy being the underdog? Do you know how many times Bruce Wonderboy has been an underdog in UFC fights?
I don't, but I'm not going to be surprised what you're going to tell me.
Saturday night was the second time he entered the octagon as a UFC underdog.
No way. I thought it was underdog way more than
that. No, only the second time. Yeah.
What was the first?
I don't totally know. They didn't give me that information on the broadcast, but yes, Saturday was the second time.
You know, I don't bet fights, but when I saw the odds on your fight, I thought, my God, this is a great bet. You know?
Well, I mean, I hate to say that too, though, but like, I feel like there are moments in time in combat sports where people feel like, oh, this is the passing of the torch. You know, I think subconsciously, even John Anik said, you know, the number six next to Wonder Boy's name, it could be Kevin Holland's this time next week. Well, it wasn't. It won't be. No.
It wasn't. I'm trying to tell you, it wasn't.
No, yeah.
But that's
no,
the
no.
thing, man. I mean, you know, they look at the age and they think, all right, you know, I'm going against a guy who's 10 years my senior and you know, supposedly a lot faster. He's been knocking guys out. So it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I use that, you know, as fuel when I see that talk. I actually didn't see the stats. I had no idea I was the underdog. But just what I was hearing through interviews and people were saying on social media, I use that for fuel to go out there and do what I need to, you know, to go out there and do what I need to do, baby.
I'm going to try to find that other time you were the underdog.
Try to find it out while I ask Steven this question. Steven, the commission's probably going to suspend you for 3 to 6 months with the broken hand.
Yes.
Have they already laid it down?
At this point, it is six months at this point.
6 months. And my guesstimate is that with the training aspect of it, as far as hitting bags and stuff, that really is 6 months away.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about that, Steven? How does that make you feel? You come off the biggest fight of your life, the bonus, everything, that the hunger's out there, the fans have you locked in their brain, and now you can't freaking get in the octagon for nine months or so, you know?
And that's kind of like the worst case scenario. I mean, I knew going out there facing off against Kevin, it was going to be a barn burner, and leaving that fight could possibly have some serious injuries. So I was kind of prepared mentally for it. So I guess it didn't affect me as it could have, you know, but with the hand being broken, but with the team I have around me, the doctors that I have around me, they're keeping me informed and giving me the best, you know, best options and stuff that they're giving me and healing time. And I just got to listen to my doctors. And I think if I listen to my doctor and do the physical therapy that they give me, I'll be back sooner. But like you said, you know, it does stink not knowing when I'm going to be out there next. It could be a full 6 months, but, it's all right here, man. It's all right here. I give my body time to heal up. Obviously, I can go back and work on some things and change some things to get better. And you know, hopefully we'll get out there sooner than what we're thinking.
I found it. Underdog, you closed as the underdog to Gilbert Burns. You opened as the underdog to Rory McDonald, but closed as the favorite. So Gilbert Burns is the only time you actually closed as an underdog.
Got you. Well, there you go. Only twice.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty damn impressive, man. You know, fighting the UFC for a decade plus, and that's the stat. Like, that's a pretty damn good stat to have.
It's a heck of a stat. So, you know, Steven, a standard question you're going to get asked by everybody that's going to interview you is, what's your next move? What's your next fight? Whatever. You know, you think that far ahead. I've never known you to call people out. I've never known you to be anything other than, who am I fighting next? Whoever it is, I'm there. Put me to work. What is your aspirations coming back from this? What do you see for your, I know you still have one or two, whatever many fights in your contract, and I doubt the UFC would ever drop you. If anything, embrace you like the way they do. What is your thoughts, you know, thinking forward?
You know, there was a few guys that were mentioned actually in after the fight. Obviously there was Conor McGregor. Of course, he's thrown out there with anybody in my weight class, that wins. Obviously I think that would be an awesome matchup, but what intrigued me the most was the BMF, was Jorge Masvidal, which we faced already. He's always game. And then you have Michel Pajeda, who's another guy who's coming up, working his way up the rankings, who's an exciting fighter as well at the welterweight division. And I said, look, the gold is always number one, right? I'm always itching for that, always going for it. But I thought those were intriguing matchups, very exciting matchups. And I told the UFC, I was like, look, you give me somebody like this past weekend, it's going to be fight of the year every time. I mean, the last few guys that they've given me that wanted to stand up, Vicente Luque, Jeff Neal, we ended up winning fight of the night then as well. Like I said, I'm still working on, because after this last fight, the four guys who are ranked above me are all wrestlers, you know? So I'm still continuing to get better. And within that 6 months that I'm healing up, that's my plan, to get better at my wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say that you can't strike, so why not concentrate on your ground game? You know,
100%. Yes, sir.
And you can even train with the cast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You wrestle. Yeah. You can do jiu-jitsu. My brother-in-law, Carlos Machado. Of course, you know the Machado brothers.
Is Carlos your brother-in-law?
Yeah, he married my older sister, Lindsay.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And, of course, I got the jiu-jitsu there that I'm continually getting better. We have a black belt under Carlos here at the gym, but I get him whenever I want. I just call my sister up. She's like, yep, I'm sending him out to you. So I'm like, all right, Carlos. You know, with the wrestling aspect, obviously my wrestling coach, Steve DeVinny, and, you know, having Chris Weidman there as well. Living in South Carolina now, I get him as well. He's not too far from me.
What a move. Jersey to South Carolina. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He loves it, man. He's like, I wish I'd done that. Of course, you know, living in Long Island and in Jersey is so expensive. Of course, South Carolina is like nothing. You know, he was paying $30,000 to $40,000 a year on property tax, and it's like nothing here. So he's loving it, man. But being around the family, he's closer to family, so it's great.
Two of my friends have moved there in the last 2 years, and you know, obviously loving the tax benefits versus California and the price they can get, what they get for a home there that they get for a home here is staggering, just like in Texas and all. So,
but just the culture too in South Carolina, good people.
It's beautiful.
In South Carolina.
It's wonderful, man. It's the hospitality is incredible.
I mean, everybody calls me home.
We got room for you. If you're ready to make the move, you let us know.
Well, I know you got a lot of pretty girls in South Carolina with no attitude. So that's
yes,
a good
sir.
Thing, too. Yeah.
We got you, Bruce.
Thanks. Thanks for having my back, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Hey, Stephen, I'm curious. I know we got to get you out of here soon, but I'm curious your thoughts. We're talking about, you know, how this the stat of you always being the favorite or closing as a favorite, even if you open as an underdog. You know, you are obviously still focused on, you know, your career moving forward and, you know, maybe there's a UFC title in your future. But have you thought much about legacy and what sort of legacy you'll leave behind when your active career is over?
You know what? That's kind of something that me and my pops have been talking about. And we came to the conclusion that if I go out there every time I step out in that octagon and just being the best Steve Oboy Thompson I can be, the legacy is written. You know, I want to be known as not just one of the best strikers, best fighters in the UFC, but a great martial artist and a great human being.
Well, you've already checked all those boxes, I think, honestly.
I would not have expected anything less to come out of you. You are one of the most honorable, true, not just mixed martial arts. You're one of the most honorable, true, as I grew up and I trained and I have passion for martial artists. Okay, you are a true role model example of what a martial artist is all about. And I thank you for being that for the young people and everybody else watching, because that's what we need more of. And just don't ever lose that. Just build on that. Your dad, you know, I love the relationship between you and your father, as I have with mine. And my dad was beside me in a couple of fights, but they were the street fights he got me into.
So. I love it. I don't mean to interrupt. What's that bottle back there, Bruce? I've been looking at it.
This is my award-winning bourbon, Puncher's Chance.
Stop. Shut your butt. You have your own bourbon? I need to give me some.
Okay, do me a favor, Stephen. Text me your address, and I'm going to have a bottle sent to you. I have a 12-year reserve, a 14-year reserve, but this is just voted the top 5 best-sipping bourbon in America at its price range.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've won 6 gold medals, design of the bottle and taste. It's the sweet nectar of the bourbon gods. You've got my number. Text me your address. I'm going to have some sent to you. Okay. Will you do me a favor if you like it, which I'm sure you will. Will you do me a little video or something or post something for me? Send it to me.
100%.
You got it. I'm going to make sure this gets out. Get me your address. You're going to get it next week.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Bruce. My man.
No problem. You know, pretty soon my cologne's coming out. My It's Time energy drink is coming out. So you're gonna wake up, you're gonna smell like Buff, you're gonna get energy with Buff, and then you're gonna drink like Buff. I'm just kidding.
Let's go, baby.
Spells Buff Life. Buff Life, baby.
Buff right Life, baby. Buff Life. I love
it,
man.
Happy holidays to you and your family, Stephen. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Anytime, TJ. Are you kidding me? Bruce, I love you, my brother. And
love you
thanks
too, bro.
Again for your most amazing announcements. You always make me look good out there. So I really do appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. I look at it the other way around, my friend. You make me look good. So thank you so much. And
you guys
I'll have your Christmas gifts delivered to you next week for you and your dad.
You got it. I will send it to you. You guys have a good and happy holidays.
Thanks. Happy holidays, Steven.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The utmost gentleman.
One of the best in the business.
Gentleman.
You know, truly someone, too, that I hope when his career is over that we see him in an analyst type of role. I know he's done some desk work in the past, but, you know, it's hard to sort of pursue both of those things side by side, being an active competitor and someone who sits, you know, in the play-by-play booth or on the desk. But Wonder Boy, man, he can do it all. And I hope when he's no longer an athlete, you know, down the road, that we still see him involved in the sport in some way.
I have no doubt because, you know, he's got the looks, the style, the voice. He handles himself well. Again, there's certain people that have the whole it factor to make those things kind of happen. And he has it. And look at this. See, you know, just he gets off the air. What does he do? He texts us
right away.
You know, gentlemen, thank you. That is a gentleman.
Yeah.
A gentleman.
All class. Guy. And that's all the thing, class. Too. Like he puts you in a good mood just by having a conversation with him. He's just one of those guys who makes an impact, whether he's fighting or just having a conversation with you.
Absolutely. No question. So let's go on to a couple things here. It's great having Steven on the show. Would love to have Kevin on the show at the same time, but we'll get him on at another time. With the situation going on here now, a couple things have happened getting away from the world of mixed martial arts. Brittany Griner's coming back.
I saw that.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine spending 9 or 10 years in a hard labor gulag in Russia. That's just would have been the. I don't even know if she would have made it or anybody would have made it. That's just crazy.
Yeah,
seriously. And then you know Michael Avenatti. Remember him, the attorney.
Yep,
got 14 years in prison. TJ.
Wow.
14 years in prison. This piece of shite, you know, with all his righteousness and everything, you know, dealing with the Trump situation and the whole bit. Steals millions from his own clients, put him in jail. You know what? Send him over to the gulag in Russia, will you? Let's trade Brittany Griner for Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, there are, you know, plenty of people that will say, you know, many jokes about attorneys and say bad things about attorneys. But honestly, Bruce, when you hear about these things, that's why some of these lawyers get the sort of reputations that they do, or, you know, guys like this.
Let me tell you, GJ, a friend of mine, TJ, let me tell you, a friend of mine was fraudulently hit with a lawsuit by this New York attorney who wound up getting $600,000 out of him.
Oh, wow.
For a bullshit case, threatening to smear his name and everything over the Entertainment Tonight worlds.
And that's blackmail.
Well, it was like, either you pay this money now or we have everything set to go to our word against yours.
It's blackmail.
3 months later, is disbarred for fraudulent practices. But my friend still had to pay the $600,000.
I mean, unfortunately, that's there's a reason these people go this route. You know what I mean? Because they get a couple paydays and they're very lucrative paydays. And, you know, but like you said, Bruce, you know, they ended up getting in trouble, ended up getting disbarred. Avenatti's going to prison. Like, that's one thing I hope. You hope karma's a real thing and you hope that it catches up with the people that do bad.
Exactly. Got some cruise ship talk here.
All right.
Want to take a cruise? I mean, I'm not saying you don't want to. I know people love them, but one dead, four injured after a huge rogue wave smashes into a ship, right? Wow. You don't know when that's going to happen. I know it's rare, of course.
Sure.
But the big popular story from, let's see, from the other week was that cruise passenger.
Yeah.
Who fell overboard.
Yeah.
20 hours.
Yeah.
Treading water with sharks, 28-year-old man, doesn't remember even. He woke up in the water. Isn't that weird? He fell and he woke up in the water without drowning. He woke up in the water.
How does that even happen?
And then he treads water for 20 hours. You ever try to tread water for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a way to do it so you don't use a lot of energy.
Well, you can do like the back float and whatnot, but still, man, like
20 hours?
It's 20 hours being in the water, period.
How about 20 hours of the mental duress of seeing fins and wondering what's going to come up underneath you, much less he did kick away what he described as a flat mouth shark, if I remember correctly. All I hear is movie.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the more crazy thriller type of movies, it's been out now for probably 20 years, but was the film called Open Water. Do you remember this movie? It came out in like 2005.
It. Yep.
Woo. You know, not really spoiling anything here, but like the plot of the movie is a man and a woman are out scuba diving, you know, somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, And their charter that put them all out there in the water ends up doing a bad head count and goes back in, and they're still stuck at the open sea, and craziness ensues. So
craziness. And then the ending, you know, eventually he dies, and then she just.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean, it came out 20 years ago. If you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have seen it, but if they haven't, it's definitely worth watching. It's amazing how you can do a film like that. And think of the actors. They're literally, for the 8 weeks or whatever it takes to film this, they're literally in a tank of water.
Yeah.
You know, with all the setup and everything, that's not a very comfortable setting.
No. I mean, again, like, forget treading water for 20 hours. Just think about being in the water for 20 hours. Your body's going to go through all sorts of issues, just temperature issues. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. You see Justin Poirier's, Dustin Poirier's staph infection on his foot?
It did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bad. He's out of the hospital, though, I heard.
Yeah, I mean, nothing will ever sort of rid the image of Kevin Randleman. You remember this back in like 2003, 2004?
Flesh-eating disease.
Oh, my God. And, you know, that's the worst I've ever seen. But, when anybody says, hey, do you want to see this picture of a staph infection? My answer is always absolutely not. No, because it is true life, you know, scenes from a horror film.
No question. In more ways than one, it's horrible. Hopefully he's okay. I mean, again, I'm thinking like amputation in extreme cases. Hey. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible.
And that's the thing, too. It's one of those things that like staph, like once you have it, it's in your body forever. And, I mean, how many of the athletes that do this great sport have staph infection, you know, living inside of them? Always. All of them do. It's impossible not to.
I agree. All right. Let's talk about the other big news that hit the last week. A man that was at the UFC in New York. I met him at the ADCC in Vegas when I was doing the Abu Dhabi Submission Wrestling Chat. The Liver King, 45-year-old Brian Johnson.
Uh-huh.
All right, first off, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say – whatever. I mean, shame on you. Okay. Number one.
Shame on you. I mean, shame on you for lying.
But it's not like anybody in the know doesn't look at him and know some extra vitamins are probably going on there. But
I hate to say this, Bruce, but this is like the news being attention, pro wrestling is scripted. Okay. Yeah, obviously.
And there's really not much to be said. The interesting thing that's going to be seen out of this, I think he's responsible in the marketing or promoting of about $100 million in sales of the supplement products that he.
Though, Bruce, even though he was, you know, saying that supplements were the key to X, Y, and Z, he's probably not wrong. You know, those supplements that he was taking, you know, probably, you know, benefited him in some way. You know, this is my thing, and I hate to say it, but like if you are doing things in your own personal time, and you know the risks involved, by all means, go do what you want to do. I'm not going to shit all over what you want. The issue here is that he was saying, I'm a clean athlete. And, I mean, I hate to say it, I don't even want to call him an athlete. Like, he wasn't an athlete. He's not competing. Is he athletic? Sure. Is he impressive? Sure. Was he on steroids? Yeah, obviously. Look at the man.
Agreed. And let's give the, okay. An athlete, he is an athlete in dictionary definition. An athlete's a person who's proficient in sports and other forms of physical exercise.
But he's not competing.
No.
You know, and like, I mean, this is my thing. Maybe this is taboo, but like, I don't really care what any athlete does. Honestly, any athlete. It's just you got to comply by the rules that you're competing under. And because, I mean, there's a lot of talk about this with Conor McGregor. If Conor McGregor removes himself from the testing pool and does X, Y, and Z, I don't care. I mean, those are the rules. He can do that. But come back on fight night and you got to be clean. You know what I mean? That's all I ever ask. You know, I don't care if you're skirting the system and getting away with it and still on fight night, you come back clean. That's what's asked of you. Do what you got to do. Don't make an embarrassment of yourself. Compete as, you know, fairly as you can by, you know, making sure that you get caught doing nothing. And I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't. Listen, it's a personal preference. I mean, would I take steroids? No, never have, never will. But you know,
but you're also not. You're also not subject to, you know, being someone who has to stay clean. If you wanted to go do those things, Bruce, those are it's your prerogative. And my honest belief is, take care of yourself the best way possible. We are learning a lot about science. You know, there's a responsible way to do things and an irresponsible way to do things. And if you are not hurting any other person by doing what you want to do, then by all means, go do it. Just don't lie about it. Don't lie about it.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I think
don't lie about it and ask for, you know, forgiveness later.
That's really the basic point. I mean, listen, Joe Rogan has made comments about his personal usage in over the years of different things, if I'm not incorrect.
Right. But that's what we've learned, Bruce, because of people being honest about things. Like, I'm not going to say you can always without failure look at someone and give them, you know, the sight test of whether or not they're using. But at the end of the day, we know what is and isn't an actual.
We know what is and isn't. And certain things are very obvious. But the reason I mentioned Joe, who's been honest about, you know, and you know he has too. He's been honest about things in the past. He called out The Rock, you know, last week, accusing him, asking The Rock to come clean.
Yeah.
And accusing him of using steroids in his new podcast. Pretty bold move on
But
on
it's
Joe's
not.
Part.
It's not, Bruce. Look at The Rock when he was a wrestler.
No, I know, but it's just not something that I would do on It's Time Radio. I'm just saying
Sure. Sure. I mean, here's the problem. And I think this is the issue with Rogan calling someone out. These people are getting called out because they're putting themselves out there as being something that doesn't pass the sort of logistical sight test.
Right.
And, you know, I don't care what The Rock does or doesn't do. It's like the idea of getting upset at someone for having plastic surgery to look younger. Like, sure, you might think differently about them. I know it's not for everybody. You've been very honest and open about how it's not for you. You're not, you know, dyeing your hair black to put off age, you know. And some people can say, oh, I like that idea of being all natural. Or, oh, I like the idea that they're doing X, Y, and Z. Whatever makes you feel good, man, go out there and do it. It's just the issue is when you're out there banging a drum. Because this is the one thing I will say. If you're out there and you're, you know, juice to the gills, and you're saying, I'm all natural, what you're doing is perpetuating an image that is going to make people feel like, well, why can't I look like that? I'm doing everything the right way, and I can't look like that. A lot of it comes down to genetics and things like that, Bruce. But when,
there's so many people that take that you see in the gym and just it's not doing anything for them.
Right.
So, I mean, except maybe just affecting their system inside, which we know it can have a definite effect. But that's we'll get somebody back on the show and have one of those long scientific logistic conversations. Then you get back to Bruce Lee, where somebody came out that he possibly passed away from drinking too much water. I mean, how do they figure that out?
I
50
don't know.
Years or whatever it's been, 30 years no since idea. His passing.
No idea. I know water intoxication is very much a thing. I don't know if you remember this, but in the early 2000s, maybe early 2010s, there was this radio contest that morning shows would do called Hold Your Wii for a Wii. You would get a Nintendo Wii if you would drink, like, I think it was eight ounces of water every 10 or 15 minutes, and you'd have like a group of four participants, and whoever went to the bathroom last would win the prize. Well, unfortunately, I believe a woman passed away of water intoxication because of that. Your body cannot, you know, even if you let it pass, your body cannot get thrown off with those electrolytes. And I think it's the amount of salt in your body. There's some salination that
that's another reason why
you die.
Yeah. And if I'm not, I could be off on this. I'm not mistaken. That's the reason why I think it's ecstasy or Molly, but I think it's ecstasy. They had the thing in the clubs where people were drinking too much water as a result and going to the hospital, you know.
Yeah.
For that. So yeah, that all stands to ring true. A little switch in stories here, because I know we only have a few minutes. Have you heard about this relationship that the Good Morning America three, the two people, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes, that worked together, began having a relationship?
Okay.
And they were taken off the air for a second as a result of their having a relationship, which I guess goes against company policy. And then they were put back on air and the ratings shot through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, that's the question. Was it all publicity stunt? Did they know exactly what they were doing? Maybe.
I don't know. I could see the network changing the policy if the ratings go up. Well, and probably saying, hey, we're going to start dating each other.
Who cares? I mean, it's just one thing you got to realize, you know, I think both of them have to ask themselves before they enter that relationship is like, okay, we work together in a very public area. If this goes south, you know, be prepared for that to maybe end one of our careers or, you know, drastically alter it in one way or the other. But, grown consenting adults can be grown consenting adults. Let them do whatever they want.
Well, a little bit of something I practice, a little bit of advice from It's Time Radio and me. Don't date where you work.
Right. I mean,
not a good idea.
It's kind of don't crap or you eat, you know.
Somebody has to go, some problem can happen. It's all very quite obvious.
Right. But I mean, but if you can do it and you're not afraid of taking that risk, then by all means go do it.
Love is love and lust is lust. So make the choice. Feel good story, cool story, call it what he wants story. A Georgia sheepdog, you know, guarding sheep.
Okay.
Bites off and kills 8 coyotes.
Oh, wow.
After the pack attacks a sheep. He killed 8 coyotes, dang. TJ, protecting his sheep.
A sheepdog. Is that like a lassie?
No, a sheepdog. You know, just a, you've seen sheepdogs.
Yeah, but it, what is lassie? What kind of dog is lassie?
Lassie is a collie. That's a collie.
It's a collie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a border collie. You're right. Never mind. Yeah.
No, sheepdog's a sheepdog. And, you know, the dog was hurt. They found parts of his tail and blood and other things, oh, sure, you know, all over the place. And they were worried. But, you know, give some credit to that dog.
Hell yeah.
You know, very, very fighter. Cool. Fighters, right. I mean, that's the kind of sheepdog you want. Let's see what else we got here. Uvalde shooting survivors have filed a $27 billion lawsuit against the police department and the school district.
Hmm.
You know, these lawsuits can bankrupt a city. I'm not saying they don't have a right to do that. My God, it was horrific.
For sure.
But you knew something like that was going to come out.
It always does. It always does.
And did you hear about these North Korea executed 2 teenagers after they watched films from South Korea?
What?
2 teens have been slaughtered in North Korea for watching South Korean movies. The 2 boys were aged 16 and 17. They were executed in front of horrified locals on an airfield. This took place in October.
Oh, my God.
The news only just came out. Another lad was killed at the same time for murdering his stepmom. They were told both crimes were equally evil.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that kind of mentality?
Yeah, I don't.
They watched South Korean movies.
No comment.
No comment.
I mean, yeah, I don't need to tell anybody how to feel about this. They know.
Yeah, I think it's very self-explanatory. An amateur fossil hunters, like, you know, people just looking for.
Sure.
They found a 19-foot-tall, 100-million-year-old skeleton.
What?
19-foot-tall, 100-million-year-old skeleton.
Wow.
Of a dinosaur. And it looks like it looks like a Tyrannosaurus jaw. It's pretty weird.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a marine reptile. That's what they call it.
That's crazy.
God only knows what that's worth. And in collectible land, the Marilyn Monroe, her suit from her marriage to Joe DiMaggio, is going up for auction. I can only just imagine what that's worth.
That'll catch a few mil.
1.5 to 2 million, they figured.
Yeah, I think it'll go as high as 2.5.
Yeah, I think. Well, remember her famous dress that was blowing up over the thing? That went for a huge amount of money.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, TJ, it's noon. I know you got to get going. I've got to get going. We got Vegas this weekend. We got UFC 282. It's a heck of a card. You know, Błachowicz, Magomed Ankalaev. Oh, the other week, I forgot to tell you.
What?
I was down here at a local restaurant with Kristen and Rupert and Henry. You know, the boys, my godson.
Right.
My nephew. And in walks Tim from Paradigm, Audiotar's agency.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's got Yuri with him.
Okay.
So Yuri was there. He walks in, takes great pictures with, you know, the boys.
Right.
Super, super nice guy. He just had a shoulder surgery. I wish him the best. The word is from the UFC, his shoulder injury is the worst they've ever seen.
Yeah. And I think that was sort of the vibe I got when you found out that he was vacating his title, which, you know, all honor to him for doing so. Because when you have that belt, like, who knows if you even get a title fight again? And that's the God's honest truth. Who knows? I mean, if it's this bad, like, I'm just hoping he gets back to active competition one day. But very honorable for him to go, you know what, I'm not going to hold up this division. I got to go get the surgery, get dealt with, and he's doing it. But you're very unfortunate.
Very cool man, though. Very polite man. I hope he does very well and comes out of this strong. Shoulder injuries are no joke.
No, it's crazy how violent he is, but how soft-spoken and, you know, sweet.
Unbelievable.
He is.
He's so crazy. Soft-spoken. It's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, Francis Ngannou is the same way.
Yeah. And my buddy Ty, it was Tuivasa. It was a bummer to see him get beat so fast in his fight. Yeah. But listen, Sergey Pavlovich is no joke.
I mean, there's no easy fight at heavyweight. There's just not.
Well, we'll see when John Jones steps in.
Yeah,
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Francis Ngannou and John Jones. Ngannou coming off his knee injury. Let's see how all that works out. All right, TJ, let everybody know what's up.
Yeah, I'll be in Vegas for UFC 282 doing extra rounds. That's me and Vanessa Demopoulos. You can watch live on Facebook on the UFC Fight Pass Facebook page. Get the archive anytime on UFC Fight Pass. And if you're out there, say hi.
Very cool. And I will be in the Octagon this Saturday for UFC 282. Very excited about it. Leave tomorrow for Vegas. And that's really about it, folks. You know, it was a heck of a weekend. Last weekend, it's going to be a heck of a weekend, a heck of a show on Saturday. So everybody, the holidays are here. I'm going to start concentrating on Christmas after this weekend. I can start focusing on family and friends and the holiday spirit and everything that goes with it. But for you folks out there, never stop thinking, never stop dreaming, never stop setting your goals, write them down, be a role model to your sphere of influence. And when you set on that yellow brick path road to the future of success, just be the best you can be, perform at your best, whether you're the champion, number one or number 10, because then you're winning. And as always, that's what we're all about on It's Time Radio, is winning. And if you're noticing this Buff Life It's Time t-shirt, one last show for the Buffer organization, just go to millions.co. And not only can you get my merchandise, you can get the Shevchenko sisters, John Anik, One More Sleep, all this great stuff. Go to millions.co and get your merchandise. Great gifts for UFC fans and other fans. Plus, we have athletes from football, every sport you can imagine. Thousands of athletes there willing to share their merchandise and everything else with you. Just check out millions.co. It's time to shop for Christmas. There you go. I did it. They asked me to. And I did.
Gotcha. All right, Buff. We'll see you Saturday night.
All right, TJ, go get them. Buffer out. Big cheers, no fears, and happy holidays, everybody. See you next week.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.